Another day, another terrible article about nursing homes, unfortunately. Boston Globe reports that with nursing homes in Massachusetts, one in five nursing homes in the state has experienced at least 20 deaths, if not more.
Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving, where we give you information and education on senior care topics. My name is Ryan McInniff. I'm the owner of Minute Women Home Care, a private agency in Lexington, Massachusetts. And let's get into this article. Unfortunately, it just continues to be more poor, bad news about nursing homes in the state. Massachusetts is obviously one of the harder hit states in the country with coronavirus, you know, likely behind New York, New Jersey, and Michigan. And I will get into it. For the first time, state divulges death toll by nursing home, and more than 80 nursing homes have 20 or more COVID-19 deaths. The figures released Wednesday show that about one out of five nursing homes or rest homes in the state experienced at least 20 deaths. Officials from the Baker administration didn't respond to questions on why they waited until now to release the site-specific death data. And that I can't really speculate on. I don't know why they would do that. Maybe it was because they didn't want to have it be a run on nursing homes. They didn't want to incite panic and fear in the families that have loved ones in a nursing home. But you would have to imagine that this information would get out one way or another, whether it was publicly known. But for families that have loved ones in nursing homes, you would imagine that they would eventually get that information one way or another. And unfortunately, you know, the numbers are staggering for a lot of these nursing homes. Now, we spoke about three major nursing homes in a previous podcast, but there's one out in Longmeadow that had 66 deaths, one in Lawrence, 64 deaths. We talked about the Courtyard Nursing Care Center in Medford that has 60 deaths. That's owned by Genesis, the largest SNF in the largest skilled nursing company in the country. We also talked about Belmont Manor Nursing. In Belmont, they're a family-run organization with 55 deaths, one in Chelsea with 52, another in Chelsea with 47, PBD 45, Quincy 42, Brockton 39, another in Brockton with 36, and Randolph with 36. So, you know, it's a bit misleading, not misleading, but it makes it sound like 20 is kind of the number, but there are plenty, there are dozens of nursing homes that have well over 20 or more deaths. This new data, for whatever reason, though, didn't include the Soldiers Home in Holyoke. We did a whole podcast on the Soldiers Home in Holyoke, where it was a state-run nursing home for veterans. They had widespread COVID-19 cases there. They had staffing issues. It looks like it's budget issues as well, and Governor Baker's in trouble. That's why he probably left this out, because just in the year or two previously under his administration, they cut funding to the Soldiers Home in Holyoke, so they're probably not looking for that to be on the front page of the news. But they have 76 deaths, which is the most amount of deaths, it looks like, from what we know with this information, out of all of the nursing homes in the state. So obviously it does not look good for Governor Baker, as well as state-run nursing homes, when your nursing home that's caring for veterans of all people is the hardest hit and seems to have a bit of a scandal around it right now. It continues on saying, also missing were deaths at assisted livings and publicly financed senior living residences, which house thousands of older Massachusetts residents but have different regulators. The numbers starkly illustrate how thoroughly the virus has penetrated senior housing and how the operators of long-term care sites, following state and federal guidances that many call inadequate, have failed to protect their most vulnerable population at the largest public health crisis of the past century. One of the things that I think is something that we're going to talk more about is, as I've said in past podcasts, is the quality of care, the quality of life that these nursing homes are getting, people living in nursing homes are getting. This is not good for nursing homes as a whole. I believe that nursing homes are needed, but as I've said in past podcasts, while individual nursing homes are, some are good, some are bad, I think the system as a whole is broken. You do not have enough money going into reimbursement for these nursing homes, but at the same time, the vast majority of nursing homes are for profit. And it makes it very difficult for politicians to keep giving money to for-profit companies that are considered to be doing not the greatest job anyways. Again, aren't too many people that are raising their hand saying they're looking forward to going into a nursing home. And that brings us perfectly into a quote by David Grabowski, who is the same David Grabowski we were talking about in a previous podcast, who was the one that said he is waiting for the first person to come up to him saying that they're looking forward to going to the long-term care side of a nursing home. And he is a Harvard Medical School professor, and he says there is still a lot of potential for another outbreak in these facilities. We know more now, but it is still not clear we have enough tests and personal protective equipment to keep things out of buildings going forward. And this also comes from a interview that was really interesting that was on Fox Sunday News with their Fox's equivalent to Meet the Press. So he had on Mark Parkinson, who is the CEO and president of the American Healthcare Association. Chris Wallace did an interview with him where they were talking about what's going on with these nursing homes and all the problems that they're having. And the 8-minute interview, what I took away from that interview was that they are firmly pointing the blame at the virus and the virus only. One area that I agree is that there wasn't a whole lot known about this virus. The virus was becoming widespread in January and certainly February when nobody was worried about this thing whatsoever. We didn't know that the majority of people were going to be asymptomatic and still being able to pass this disease along. They were contagious before they were even showing any symptoms. And so you before you even knew that this was a problem, you had hundreds of people, thousands of people per week going in and out of nursing homes that were obviously very likely carrying this disease asymptomatically, or they thought that they had the flu. I've experienced this firsthand. I got sicker. I'm a 36-year-old guy in good shape and in good health. And I got the sickest I had ever gotten in February. And it was over Valentine's Day weekend, and I had all the symptoms of COVID. But I didn't think it was COVID because, well, you just assumed it was the flu. It was February, it was bad, maybe it was a really bad head cold, but there were a couple times where I felt horrible. Like I can remember sitting there being like, oh my gosh, I have never felt like this before. Do I need to go to a hospital? And then you kind of shake it off saying, a hospital? I can't need to go to a hospital for a head cold or the flu. And then you just move on with your life. And after a week, I was feeling much better. My girlfriend got the disease, or I believe she did. She didn't have the same symptoms I did. She just kind of felt crappy for 2 or 3 days over the following weekend. And then we moved on. And, that was what, I didn't go out to nursing homes. I didn't go out, nor did she. We didn't go out to nursing homes or assisted livings. But I later found out that I had a meeting with somebody in the healthcare field who had just recently come back from Italy. And he had gotten sick and sicker than he had ever been in his life. So it's highly likely that he picked it up from Italy, he got sick, or before he got sick, we had our meeting, and then he got sick, and then I got sick after it. So this thing, in my opinion, was widespread throughout the Boston area before anything was done. In mid-March is when things started happening. And, you know, right around St. Patrick's Day is where finally Mayor Menino and Governor Baker were starting to take this seriously, even though my circle of friends was all of a sudden being kind of, some were like, yeah, this is just the flu, and others were like, well, this might be worse than the flu. But the fact of the matter is, I do agree with Mark Parkinson on that fact that it was probably no matter what they did, it was probably destined to fail, because it was already in the nursing homes before they even knew about it. And that's kind of the problem that we're dealing with right now, is once it gets in the nursing home, how do you get it out? It goes on to say that the Globe actually reached out in a survey to different assisted livings and facilities, and they identified a few assisted livings that have had really bad numbers. The Falls Accordingly Dam in Newton, which is a really uppity assisted living. It's right near, you know, it's not in Wellesley, but it might as well be, because it's right on the line of Wellesley, which is one of the richest towns in Massachusetts. They've had over 20 deaths. Benchmark Senior Living in Waltham Crossings has had 14. Heights Crossing in Brockton is 13. Unfortunately, all three of those are Benchmark buildings. But I do want to give them credit for being honest and saying what's happening, because I know for a fact there are other assisted livings that aren't being as honest, and there are other facilities that are not going, and when I say honest, they're not going to tell the Globe what's been going on in their buildings. They don't want to be put into a article like this, and I give credit to Benchmark for being upfront and honest on what's going on in their buildings, because every building is having, or the vast majority of buildings clearly are having, these problems. And unfortunately, Genesis Healthcare, which is the major national chain that had all of those issues over in Medford, they have seen 20 or more COVID deaths in Agawam, Andover, Chelmsford, Revere, and of course Medford. So, you know, the chief medical officer of Genesis Healthcare, Dr. Richard Pfeiffer, you know, he's obviously trying to do his best to control this, but you know, they've had numerous sites with these issues, and he's basically saying, hey, we are learning as a nation now how incredibly challenging it is to prevent the spread of COVID-19, particularly once in the nursing home environment, regardless of how restrictive or rigorous the prevention efforts have been. And that's, I think the underlying issue that we're having. You know, I said in a podcast recently that if the death rate is under 1%, that's kind of my number, that I think in some ways we're overreacting to the situation. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we need to trust ourselves to socially distance with this, that if you're going to go to a barber shop, you're going to go to a salon, you're going to go to get services done, you need to be cognizant of this virus, and you need to take certain precautions, whether it's social distancing, limiting the amount of people that are in your shop. Obviously, it can't just be open the floodgates and we all go back to normal. Unfortunately, gyms, bars, concert venues, areas where lots of people gather, they're going to be closed for a long period of time, and I think rightfully so, and it completely sucks for the business owners who own those businesses, and I know some of them personally that are being negatively affected by this, and it completely sucks. But you also can't gather 50 people, 100 people together in a bar or in a gym where you're getting sweaty, where you're breathing heavily, and you're going to, there's a much higher likelihood of spreading a disease. And it stinks, because a lot of these restaurants are going to have problems even when they're allowed to do outdoor seating. Because in Boston, you only really can do outdoor seating 3 months out of the year. So a lot of restaurants don't have a lot of outdoor seating, if any whatsoever, to be able to provide that that service. And even if they do have outdoor seating, it's relatively small, because Boston's a confined area that it's cold, rainy, snowy most of the year. And so the small area that they do have for outdoor seating is going to be cut in half, because you need to be able to socially distance people from 6 to 8 feet away. So instead of being right next to somebody where you're shoulder to shoulder in some circumstances, now you're going to have 6 feet of distance. So it's not good, but my overall feeling is I kind of feel like The nursing homes in Massachusetts are the issue. We have 60%, 55, 60% of our deaths coming from long-term care facilities. I guess my question is, we have the Army, we have the Navy, we have multiple branches of the military that have surgeons, they have triage, they have individuals that know how to provide care and to save people's lives while bullets are being shot over their head. I don't fully understand why we aren't utilizing that to go into these nursing homes and to provide care for people and to make sure that the individuals in those nursing homes are as safe as humanly possible. We've seen up in Canada that they're having major issues, and we've seen that when the Canadian Armed Forces went into those nursing homes, they were seeing a lot of issues that were cut because of staffing problems. And we know for a fact that there are staffing issues in the United States when it comes to private home care, assisted living, and nursing homes. Now, with assisted living and nursing homes, those are where the biggest issues are occurring because you're in a confined, closed area space with people coming and going. Private home care is having a little bit less of an issue because you're dealing with less people in a confined space. So that's where you're not having such major issues as you are in nursing homes, where people are much more vulnerable, they have comorbidities, and you have many more people coming and going. My overall feeling is that we need to address the nursing home and assisted living issue with whatever we have to do. That way the rest of us can hopefully go back to some new normal to be able to allow the economy to continue going forward. It continues going on saying that Pfeiffer also made a point, and Pfeiffer again is the director of the health director over in for Genesis. The chief medical officer, over at Genesis, and an important factor is dementia. He is absolutely right with this. Quote, many of the residents in these centers have dementia, making precautions and strict restrictions difficult to enforce. There's a two-part problem here. The dementia is absolutely the issue. We saw this over in the soldiers' home in Holyoke, where they had 76 deaths. What was going on was that once the people in the dementia ward got infected with COVID, it was extraordinarily difficult to get them to isolate, because obviously they don't realize what's going on and they don't understand why they're supposed to isolate. Additionally, it is illegal to restrain somebody to keep them in their room. So maybe those laws have been laxed a little bit, but like, for example, an aide cannot go into a dementia person's room. Let's say an aide goes into care for somebody that has dementia. And one of the things, the problems is that this person with dementia walks around a lot in all hours of the night and then tries to go into other people's rooms, other residents' rooms, and that causes issues. Well, an aide cannot put her chair inside the door and sit in front of the door to prevent the person from leaving the room. That is considered basically restraining them from going where they want to go. You have to walk with them, you have to allow them to walk around, and you just have to nudge them or redirect them, as it said, and prevent them from going into people's rooms. You can't lock them, for lack of a better word, or it is not a lack of a better word, that's what it is. You can't lock them in their rooms. And so when you have dementia folks, people with dementia that do not understand what's going on, and you are in a pooled care environment where you have 30 or 40 residents that have dementia and five or six people caring for all those individuals at one time or over the course of a day or whatever that ratio is, it's virtually impossible to get all of those people. It's like herding kittens. You know, it's virtually impossible to get them to stay isolated. So then all of a sudden they're walking around, they're doing their thing, and then they're touching doorknobs, they're touching shared spaces, and then they touch their face, their nose, their eyes, and they contract the disease as well. And so that's where a lot of those issues came from. And then, of course, those caregivers who are working in assisted livings with those COVID positive patients, maybe they don't realize somebody's COVID positive already, and then they go into the traditional side and they shake hands with somebody, they greet somebody, they talk to somebody in the staff break room over lunch, and then all of a sudden the infection is spread to employees or residents in the traditional side of the assisted living, and then you have your issue with it being widespread throughout an assisted living. At the same time, that transmission can happen from vendors coming in. I'm not trying to say that it couldn't have been my caregivers that were coming in, or hospice caregivers, or VNA caregivers, or the management there, or the food delivery services that are coming and going, the durable medical equipment that's coming in and coming going. You have to imagine there's dozens and dozens of vendors that are also coming into these nursing homes and assisted livings on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, that could have all spread that disease, and they could have been patient zero, or they could have been the one that spreads it to patient zero in the assisted living, if that makes sense. And so the one problem, though, that Dr. Pfeiffer is omitting is that what ramped this up was the staffing issues. So like over in Soldiers Home in Holyoke, the issue was also the staffing issues, where the staff had to go from one dementia to the dementia unit to the traditional unit and back, and that allowed the spread. Or those staffing individuals who were staying on the dementia ward, the dementia unit, they were going and caring for somebody with COVID positive, and then they were forced to care for somebody with COVID negative because there wasn't enough staff. So the choice was to let somebody sit in their own urine or their own feces until the next shift showed up, or they had to go in there and clean them up, knowing that they were working with somebody with COVID positive and they didn't have the right PPE. And so there you go. There's the perfect storm, if you will, of having this turn into a disaster to an unmitigated nightmare. And so as a Life Care Center spokesman, Life Care Centers of America is another very large SNF, skilled nursing facility, when you hear me say SNF. They said, despite our best efforts, the coronavirus entered some facilities. While a lack of timely information from government agencies, constraints of available testing, and concerns for sufficient PPE are ongoing, there is only one place to lay the blame for this pandemic: on the virus. So what my guess is happening is Mark Parkinson, the CEO and president of American Healthcare Association, is obviously, their association members are most likely Genesis, most likely Life Care Centers of America, and many, many other nursing homes that are in the area, and they're getting guidance on where to put the blame, and the blame is at the virus. They are not taking any accountability for this, and certainly they're doing their best to get that accountability and that liability waived, certainly by state laws and executive orders that are being signed that mean that nursing homes cannot be held liable civilly, and in some cases like New York, criminally, from prosecution, as well as lawsuits brought against them for what's been going on in those facilities. So that might be something you agree with or disagree with. I overall understand where they're coming from the business side of things, but I also think that there might be overreach, and the concern with a lot of people is like, well, yeah, we understand that COVID is a once in a lifetime thing, but there have also been a lot of issues before this with infection control, which we talked about. And that's a perfect segue into what Chris Wallace asked Mark Parkinson on Fox News Sunday, this past Sunday, over Memorial Day, I believe it was. And he basically said, well, Mark, you know, here's the thing. We understand that this COVID is not necessarily your fault, but weren't there infection control issues in a lot of these nursing homes beforehand? And they used a statistic that we had spoken about. And I was stuttering a little bit because I was looking for the statistic. But basically, the report said that 82% of nursing homes were cited for infection control problems from 2013 to 2016, which kind of goes in line with what we were talking about from that Kaiser report that said, I believe it was like 65% of nursing homes were cited for infection control problems since 2016 to the present, 2019. So obviously there is an overwhelming problem with infection control. And I didn't really love Mark Parkinson's answer regarding this. You know, basically he pointed the finger at the inspector, saying that the inspectors are basically, they're unfair, and they are out to get nursing homes, and their job is to penalize nursing homes, and it's basically a broken system with how they get reported on, which I am sure there's some truth in that. But at the same time, you also have to take accountability that there are issues with infection control. There are pros and cons to working in these nursing homes and working with nursing homes. And clearly one of the issues is going to be infection control. And the most often cited issue with infection control was not washing your hands from seeing patient to patient. And this is a problem in hospitals. It's a problem in nursing homes. It's a problem everywhere because people either forget or they assume that their hands are clean or whatever it might be. For whatever reason, they justify it and they move from patient to patient without washing their hands. And it can be a major, major problem. And it is a major problem because clearly over 380,000 people annually die from infections in nursing homes annually. That's not even with coronavirus. That's 380,000 people annually die from infections in nursing homes. Now, that doesn't mean that it's the nursing home's fault. There may have been situations that took place that were outside of the nursing home's control, but you have to imagine that some portion of that was because of these infection control problems. So it's clearly an issue. It's clearly COVID is shining a light on those issues. And I think in that circumstance, in this interview, Mark Parkinson was very quick to just point the blame on the inspectors and not take much blame for the nursing homes that he represents. So you can take a look at this on the Boston Globe. Again, it says for the first time, the article is called For the First Time, States Divulge Death Toll by Nursing Home. And it came out, I believe, this morning or yesterday on 5/27. So anyways, I wish you health. I wish you and your family health and safety. Thank you so much for listening to the Caregivers Podcast. If you wouldn't mind, please rate us on iTunes 5 stars. We really would appreciate that. We don't have ads on this. We don't have any of those types of things right now. And it would be great to get that support from you all about rating us 5 stars. So it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so very much. Have a great day, and we'll catch you on the next one.